Redemption from the Pierces. We've looked again. Can we find O by Coldplay? I don't know. Do you think William Sitwell's going to be very upset about that? We'll find out in a few seconds' time, because we almost have to say farewell to your good self, Amelia. I know you're one of William's biggest fans.
No, I am.
Exactly. This is true. Exactly. And one day he will. He will actually attend one of the food and drink festivals.
That'd be fantastic.
Next one, November 28th, 29th. And lo and behold, just from Hong Kong, off the plane now, suffering a wee bit from jet lag, it is the same William Sitwell. Good morning, William. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you.
Yeah.
Sounds, yeah.
I think that's a jet lag Sitwell Meister there.
I'm trying to bring myself back to life by playing Downton Abbey.
Oh,
yes. Downton Abbey.
You see, that's the kind of magic that only the editor of Waitrose Food and ace culinary correspondent William Sitwell can bring to the game, which is fantastic. So how was Hong Kong, William?
It was bustling. Mm-hmm. It was busy. I mean, the students have managed to bring the centre of the city to a grinding halt, which means that people's tempers and patience, I think, with the students is beginning to fray a little bit.
But I thought they were very polite demonstrators. I thought they cleaned up after
them. No. They're classic Hong Kong demonstrators, in that they work all day and they come back and demonstrate in the evening.
Nice.
But they have...
That's industrial action for you, isn't it? Yeah, you work all day, you demonstrate in the evening. That's what we need.
But what they've done, you see, they put their barricades up and they've got all their colourful tents across a lot of the main roads, like Connaught Street. So you can't actually... the centre is gridlock, which means that when you're going off to try and buy your chicken feet or whatever, it can take longer and you need to go on foot. But Hong Kong's a great city, and it was interesting.
Under the Facebook heading, "Some things I've seen and others I haven't eaten this week in Hong Kong and mainland China," you've been busily putting various photos on your Facebook image, really.
Well, I travelled into mainland China one day, and I went to Guangdong, which is in the province of Guangdong, which is a couple of hours out of Hong Kong, out of the New Territories. You go through customs and you go into mainland China, and I was looking around a supermarket there, and it's quite unusual because in a classic British supermarket, you wouldn't get live fish in tanks. Neither would you get live turtles, so you can make turtle soup. You wouldn't get large, vats of chicken feet and so on. They're trying to bring the concept of the market into these places, and I think that the British sensitivities would be slightly shocked at some of the things you can actually buy, even in a modern hypermarket.
Sally, would you be shocked at that if somebody came up with the suggestion of saying, let's have some live chicken feet at the Lincolnshire show?
We're always open to new ideas, Alex, we wouldn't rule it out straight away.
Yeah, we've not confirmed the hospitality menu.
No, we haven't. No, so, there are always options. Yeah.
If you have any turtles, beware. Be very wary. Who knows what could actually happen for that. William, have you been to the Lincolnshire show? You haven't, have you? I don't think you have actually made... I mean, I know we didn't manage to get to the Northants Food and Drink Festival this year, but I think we need to reciprocate. Amelia, do you want to put the invitation out here?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Please come to the show. Yeah. We love to see... The food court's fantastic. It's one of the busiest areas on the show.
How can you resist that, William?
I mean, it's impossible. When is it?
24th and 25th of June, 2015. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, Thursday.
600 trade stands, about 80 local food producers celebrating everything that's great and good about food in Lincolnshire.
Very good. Well, these food fairs and festivals are spreading like a rash across this country, but it's good because it shows that there's a... there's a bit of a food boom going on, and that's where it starts, isn't it? It starts with local culture, local food producers. So it's very important.
Obviously, somebody's actually decided to get in on the line, basically. It's one of those Hong Kong people that's sort of emerging and sort of seeing various beeps, etc. Have we not paid the phone bill? I don't know. So, are you still there, William?
I'm still here.
Good, right, okay. We're going to get your slides, I'll be there. Well, any final thoughts whilst I actually sort of say we've got virtually everything Coldplay have done apart from O? I mean, we could offer you Sky Full of Stars, we can offer you Viva La Vida, Don't Panic, Fix You, Clocks, The Scientist, Strawberry Swing.
It's terrible, you can't, well, I'll have to play it for you if you
can't. I know, I'm shocked, literally, very shocked about this, and we'll make sure that things are sorted out and addressed in that particular area. I'm going to pass this over to Jessica to actually take away an answer from that point of view and say, it's Ian Lennox, say we'll hopefully be with him at 10 to 10. There we are, that's the message there. It's very confusing.
Hello.
Anyway, let's just lower her microphone down as well, or she'll answer it on air. So, William, in terms of the whole sort of sequence, do any of the Coldplay tracks we've mentioned float your boat?
Well, you could play, what? That one for me, maybe?
Yeah. Do you know,
or
I've
you
got,
could play this one?
Yes.
But you can't play this one.
So, what other super... That deserves a round of applause, please. A round of applause for William Sitwell, virtuoso on the piano. Doing his, this explains why, with the 3C cider, he got together with one of the chaps from Jamiroquai.
Can you play this one, then?
You know, it's on the...
Put that one on, then.
Was that Fix You?
No, it wasn't. What? This is Fix You.
Yes. So you see, now that... That works, you know.
Good.
Is that okay with you? Does that...
That's very good.
There we are. William Sitwell, we haven't even asked you the last two questions. So very quickly, Jessica, go.
Have you enjoyed the show today?
Beautiful.
And will we be hearing from you soon?
I possibly.
Fingers crossed. And the tears come streaming down your face. When you lose something you can't replace, lights will guide you home and ignite your bones. I will try to fix you. So much to pack into the programme, including possible threats for the presenter. But never mind. Moving on, Amelia, would you like to just give a final plug in terms of the food and drink festival extravaganza that's happening at the Lincolnshire Showground? Okay, so the Lincolnshire Food and Gift Fair is on the 29th and 30th of November, which is a Saturday and Sunday, open from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tickets available on our website, and also there's a link to the ticket line as well. So if you buy them in advance, they're £5. Under 16s are free, and so is parking.
Fantastic.
Oh, and it's indoors. You must remember that it's indoors.
Christmas indoors.
Yes.
It is wonderful. Thanks to Amelia. Thanks to Sally.
Thank you.
Yeah, all sorted through that. We'll see you both again in the very near future. In fact, we'll be there for our next Lincolnshire Agriculture Society theme special, which, of course, will be December when you're back in the studio, although we'll be with you beforehand. Thanks to Amelia. Thanks to Sally. Brilliant stuff there. Okay, online now, it is the amazing Louis Savvy. Good morning, Louis. How are you keeping?
Good morning, I'm very well, sir. How are you?
Very good indeed. Now, we move from rural matters to all sorts of other areas. We still have Professor Scott Davidson in the studio with us, and, of course, Jessica Ward. You've been very busily ensconced with respect to your recent trip to Bletchley Park, of course, which you coordinated the film screenings for a rare event, and a rare, fantastic event at Bletchley Park. But you want to promote something even more exciting now, Louis. So share with us. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Bletchley Park.
Exactly.
So we were, there were 3 days planned early October when I was on with you last, and sadly it got postponed. But I'm happy to say that we've resurrected it, changed the format around, and got a great day of events going on Saturday, November the 8th at Bletchley Park. And it's going to be a really good day, I think. We've got crashed spaceships, moon buggies, there's a TARDIS on site. There's a great big screen going up outside on the hard standing areas on site. And we've just, I don't know if I'm allowed to tell you this. Actually, I think I can. We're going to be able to screen, we're screening the last episode of Doctor Who. From the current series as well, outdoors at Bletchley Park, and I think that's perfectly fine setting for it. We've also got, it's not the premiere because it was at the London Film Festival, but it's the only other screening that's in the UK at the moment, of Monsters 2, Dark Continent, which, if you may remember, is the sequel to Gareth Edwards' debut feature, Monsters. And we've got permission to screen that. And Tom Green, who's actually a local lad, he's from Cambridge, will be along on the night as well to do a Q&A afterwards. So Search for Simon, obviously the film we produced, is playing. There's a whole heap of other stuff. We've got John Sweeney and Neil Brand coming on to do a live score to a 1935 Russian classic called The Cosmic Voyage. There's shorts, there's Thunderbirds, there's all sorts of stuff going on. It's a really good day. Plus, you get full access to Bletchley Park and also the Museum of Computing, where, you know, Colossus and the Witch live. So it's going to be fantastic, and I urge you all to come along.
Well, you know, you did ask us to come along and do a location report, and I think on November the 8th we should be looking to do something along those sort of lines, basically. What do you think, Scott? Bletchley Park opening its doors here to the science fiction and fantasy team, plus more.
That sounds like a fantastic event. I'd love to see the Doctor Who screen. I'm a bit of a Doctor Who fan. Yeah. So.
Well, you should come along. come and do some recording down with us. We start at 2, until 11 at Bletchley Park on the 8th of November.
I think. Will you be in Washington at that stage, Scott? Because I know you're following the Magna Carta, as we said. Will we get those time things coordinated?
If we get the TARDIS working, I'll get my sonic screwdriver out.
You can borrow ours, as long as you bring it back.
What's the web address for this magical stuff, Louis? Share with us. How do we actually find out about these things if you sort of want to make notes and sort of say, well, I heard it and I can always play the podcast back again, but how do people actually get tickets and various other things?
The easiest thing to do is just to go to stationxsci-fi.com. All one word, stationxsci-fi.com. As you know, Bletchley Park used to be called Station X because it was until probably the mid-70s, actually, it was the best-kept secret in the country. Nobody knew it even existed. And it's funny because it's directly opposite the train station and very, very visible indeed. But, StationXSciFi.com or Google StationXSciFi, or follow a link through to the BFI where there's a whole... Because there's 3 months of science fiction stuff going on with the BFI across the country. And if you know you can't make it down to Bletchley Park, there'll be something in your area going on.
It's days of fear and wonder, as I share with my family, English students, so, and indeed film and television folk, etc. Big Brother is watching you. Monsters, Dark Continent, a whole range of other factors there. And as you rightly said, we've got even the Station X trailer that's lined up for that. Probably an inspiring, family-friendly day of sci-fi celebrations. Sounds good, Scott.
Absolutely, yes. If I can get that time machine working.
Exactly. What do you think, Jessica? Is that sort of thing which you think, yes, I should check that one out?
Yes, I'd definitely check that out.
We may well be there, Louis. We may well be there doing our little location report. So bring stuff there. And again, it's stationxsci-fi.com, which is the wonderful thing. Louis, it's been brief and very perfectly formed in all sorts of ways. Jessica has to leave us in a few seconds, but not before she's asked you those last two questions. We're still hopeful that we're going to squeeze in a little smidgen of our last Newcastle correspondent. That would be Ian Lennox, of course, who I think is all set and ready to go. At least that's the message he left with you, isn't it, Jessica?
Yes.
So. Anyway, last two questions for Louis Savvy. Please, Jess.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I have. It's always too short, but I have enjoyed it, as always.
Well, then clearly we must look for an expanded version. You know, we need to just look for that, and maybe that'll be on November the 8th. Yeah, that's important. Because, of course, don't forget, whilst we're plugging this, don't forget, Louis, all systems are pretty much go. I've spoken to the conference organisers at the University of Lincoln. That's great. Kerry's on the case. And, Scott, if you haven't heard, we're looking to put together a telefantasy symposium on the 6th of May, Wednesday, 6th of May, 2015. At this very university.
Absolutely fantastic.
Louis Savvy with that. Jamie Anderson, son of Jerry Anderson, has agreed provisionally to be a keynote speaker and so on. Professor Richard Hand coming over from the University of South Wales. Exciting times.
Right, as long as he can manage the space-time continuum.
Always that space-time continuum. It can create so many challenges in every sense of the word. But anyway, the next question, of course, Jessica, is...
And we'll be hearing from you soon.
Oh. Certainly will.
Okay, I think we'll so yeah. And speaking of space-time continua. Bulmasen 7 seconds. Yusa Endor featuring Nina Cherry. Well, as you've just said, Scott Davidson, of course, Professor Scott Davidson, and then there were two. But not quite, because there's three, because Ian Lennox has finally managed to sort out telephonic connections after, say, the challenging things is there. So we started with the Newcastle theme programme, and as we've headed through Richard Fitzwilliams, Malcolm Tomlinson, Arthur McKenzie, William Sitwell, and, of course, Minty Steed, etc., Louis Savvy, inevitably we have come full circle, and we're back with a chap who's probably so devastated about the result that happened at the Etihad last night, when outrageously Newcastle United actually scored two goals to go through to a match against Tottenham. Ian Lennox,
and had two penalties disallowed.
Yeah, I figured you'd be sort of talking about it. So early in the production, Arthur McKenzie did a fine sort of role for his latest production, which of course is all on speed dating, or was on speed dating, GSOH.
Yes, I know. I went to see it, and I was surprised Arthur wrote about that, because to my certain knowledge, his computer runs on coal.
So. Well, I was going to raise that, but I thought, no, it just shows you.
I can't imagine Arthur. Can you imagine Arthur on a speed dating? He'd probably arrest them all.
It's an interesting line, but as we said, obviously when you're not doing fantastic writing yourself, and indeed being a guest speaker at the University of Sunderland, amongst other things, from that point of view, you're regular from our point of view. Would you like to ask Scott how he's found his experience on the programme today? Because he's counted them all out again. There was a time I thought we'd have to send out for more oxygen, Scott, actually. You
know? I thought we were going to breach health and safety regulations at one point. But.
We had Amelia Chambers, we had Sally in the studio, we had Emma Tinson, Jessica Ward, we had Sue Royce, etc. It's a packed programme, I think, quite literally. More
have you got a
one.
Big studio there?
We like to think of it as perfectly formed, actually, Scott. I think, would you say perfectly formed?
Yeah, the fact that it's got cupboard on the door outside.
It's an irrelevance. It's dimensionally transcendental. Let's keep that TARDIS theme going. That's the important set. So is all well with Alan Pardew these days, Ian? I mean, is it a case of now you realise that all you really wanted at the end of the day was an owner who actually has shares in Glasgow Rangers as well as Newcastle United to celebrate?
I was never one of the
I wonder how many Newcastle fans will be saying that now. No, I was never one of the anti-Pardew brigade. No, it's all well.
And I don't see, he's not the problem for me. It's the lack of ambition at the club that's the problem, I think. That's more my personal opinion. But I think he's looking a bit more cheerful, isn't he? And he's got a right to be. I thought it was quite an interesting game last night, actually. They had a lot of young kids on who closed your players down very quickly.
Yeah, okay.
They didn't like it. Sorry about that, yes. I presume all their listeners do know which team you support.
As I said, you know, as a boy, wrote off, connected with Francis Lee, invited me down, became a junior blue. It's a bit like Jesuits, you know, once you sort of there's only one side in Manchester you go for. And anyway, we've had some sort of success. But
I used to live when I worked on the Daily Mail in Manchester in the 70s, and I used to live near Main Road. Uh-huh. I used to go and watch them every week, and that was a great team they had then, well, of the 70s anyway.
Exactly.
Francis Lee, Colin Bell, and some of them.
Mike Doyle, Tommy Booth, you know, a whole range of things.
Yeah.
Paul Power, who in fact we connected together, he went to the University of Leeds, I was at the University of London, and he said one of those rare species at the time, a footballer who actually had a degree as well. It was inconceivable, you know. Steve
I think the Castle too, actually. I think Jeff Nolte had a degree, I think he did.
Yes,
exactly. Mickey Burns was a teacher.
He was indeed a teacher, yes.
And I think there's Alan Gowling had a degree as well.
Yeah, so there we are.
He played for us, yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be hell in my brother's house this morning. He lives in Sale, of course. He's a Newcastle lad, married somebody from Manchester, and so it's and they're like blues. So it's going to be a bit tense, I think.
Yeah, we just have to realise that, you know, things are, that there's a certain instance that obviously occurs over the weekend where we play another side in Manchester that could be quite interesting in terms of that.
Yeah,
recent results.
Yeah.
But still.
You see, but actually, the lesson of all this is if you haven't won against a team for 14 years and then you suddenly win, the joy is increased.
Yes.
So you've been there, you're just taking for granted, but we're over the moon.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And celebrate good times, that's the important thing.
Exactly.
Your books are still being perused and read by the team. The Midweek Drivettes are still working on them. They have so far, it's all good. I think they've now reached chapter 4 in terms of the latest adventures from that point of view. But Scott, any little questions you want to put to Ian Lennox about life, the universe, or life in Tyneside this morning? I think he's Jesmond based. I think, are you Jesmond, Ian? Is that where you're based?
No, I've got a mile from Jesmond in Gosforth.
Oh,
that's my part of the woods.
There we are.
So, really?
Yes. Born and bred in Gosforth. So, we used to be just behind the cricket ground.
I live about half a mile from there.
Yeah, the South Northumberland cricket ground, and
that's where I used to play there.
No, it was one of the great joys of a summer afternoon or a summer evening to be able to walk from our house and just sit and watch the cricket.
And the tennis as well. There was some tennis courts in those days. I think they've gone now. Actually.
Yeah.
The school I went to actually backed on to South North Curriculum, and I met a chap called Jack Oakes. He taught me cricket. He played for Sussex. It was through Jack Oakes that I came to write a book, because he told me about his life in the 30s when he had to sort of, when he played for Sussex as a professional, and he sort of had to endure sort of social apartheid.
And actually, I'm thinking we should provide Professor Scott Davidson with a copy of Gentlemen and Players so you can peruse it at your leisure. And it's already been given rave reports by the likes of John Wenham, our cricketing umpire and fellow soul here, for accuracy. And, of course, that era when, as Ian's rightly said, you were either a gentleman or you were a player.
Yeah.
Two did not mix.
Yeah. Was there at one time a South African professional who played for South Northumberland?
Yes, that's some good players.
Yeah. I remember him coming along to our school that would have been the early 60s, which must have been pretty unusual for that time, I would have thought.
When I was a boy, the professional was a chap, an Indian called Borde, is an all-rounder. And there's a story that when he went into the nets, somebody wouldn't let him put his pads on, and they tried to bowl fast at him. I think he whacked them over the ground, but we did anyway.
Well, there you have it. You've been listening to two fine lads from Newcastle reminiscing about life and times. Obviously, directly relevant to the Lincolnshire folk, which is fantastic.
I can imagine half of listeners packing their bags up as we speak to head door.
Exactly. suddenly, the population of Lincoln will be decreasing as people make their diaspora.
Tell them not to go to the ground because I'm not playing today.
Newcastle nostalgia is not what it used to be.
Classic stuff there. But on the show, we certainly thank Jessica Ward and Emma Tinson and Amelia Chambers and Sally and Sue Royce and, of course, your good self, Professor Scott Davidson, for joining us. Thanks to our telephonic contributors, Richard Fitzwilliams, Minty Steed, Ian Lennox, of course, Malcolm Tomlinson, Arthur McKenzie, William Sitwell and Louis Savvy. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today, Ian?
I have.
Good.
Brief and late, but interesting.
Listen, as I say, it's not my fault you had challenges with your home phone network, etc. Are they going to actually restore communication to you at some time?
They're going to send an engineer out tomorrow. Ah. But they've texted me to say that they found a fault on the network, so they're going to repair that instead.
A fault on the network, eh? Unbelievable. Yeah.
Of course, I'll text them saying I'm down to the last three pigeons. So.
These are the classic lines which are genuine for Scott. Have you enjoyed your return to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
It has been wonderful.
Excellent.
Varied and wonderful.
So I take it you've fulfilled with energy to actually head over to Washington to follow the Magna Carta over there. Hopefully you'll return maybe before Christmas, perhaps, or certainly in the near future.
In a week or two.
Well, there we are, you see. There we are, Professor Scott Davidson. Of course, we thank Lorraine as well, because she's done lots of organising in terms of the whole system, your PA.
Oh, my PA.
Special mention, because obviously you get very upset.
And I'm losing her.
No! Yes. It's very careless. Obviously.
Is this the other Washington, the one in America?
It's the American one, not the one with the cherry tree.
Could be easily put together, couldn't it, really? Mind you, it would reduce the travel costs. Maybe not. I don't know. Professor Scott Davidson.
Do you know there's a theory that Washington in America got its name from a knight called Sir Hugh de Wessington? Who had land in Durham, and Washington in County Durham was named after him. And I think it was
Ian, you've just provided the factoid of the day. Fantastic stuff. Sorry, I'm going to continue after the news. We've got Lita Rosen with Motor City Resonation. Actually, after 10 o'clock, got Alex back with us. Alex Brown with a wonderful special show. So keep on keeping on. And can we all say bye-bye?
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
News and sport on Siren 107.1.